KQ4HXR KI4EJY. KQ4HXR KI4EJY. Heard, KI4EJY mobile.
Guam 2 Tango mobile.
2T0TR.
Good morning, Tom. Just by 1 minute. I called you earlier today, but you weren't answering up.
Bernice ran me downstairs because she was mopping the kitchen floor. And I didn't turn the radio on down there. That's probably when.
9:30 this morning. I figured you were still upstairs eating breakfast.
Early. I was late. I was watching a TV show on Story TV. Oh, it is a nasty day out there. We've had 1.4 inches of rain. This is going to pour down for the rest of the day.
Cancel my inspection till next week. We put it off till next Monday because it's supposed to rain today and rain tomorrow. If I didn't need something from the grocery store and to go pick up my lunch, I wouldn't be out in it myself. I'd be staying home. But I got to run out here and pick up my lunch and also pick up something at the grocery store. So I'll run out and do that and then go back to the house and stay there the rest of the day and probably most of the day tomorrow, too.
You know, about midnight. Well, we're going to take some eggs down to Amy in a few minutes here. She's making egg salad for some reason today, and I asked her if she needed some eggs. So we're going to do that. I'm not exactly crazy about getting out in the rain either, and I'm looking at the radar right now, and it's pretty saturated around here.
Long range while ago, listening to it on the weather channel, and they're talking about it's supposed to be like this right up through tomorrow, most of tomorrow too. So, you know, if you like today, you'll love tomorrow, as they say.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way of looking at it. But this is the gentleman on Dan Bickford on channel 7, and he's saying that this rain all through the day. So, not much way to get around it. I'm just trying to decide whether I want to take the truck or the car. I'd much rather drive the car than the truck, to be honest with you, but I don't know, it's nice and dry and it's in the basement, so I might take the truck.
Hey, just be careful out here. These roads, I've watched a couple of cars kind of slip slide a little bit on this road out here in front of me today. I've been sticking to the 35 mile an hour speed limit along where I am and not pushing it. And, you know, like I said, I don't have to be anywhere at a specific time except for 7 o'clock tonight when I have to call the sideband net. And then at 10 o'clock when I'm calling another sideband net, but that's on 70, and both of those are on 75 meters tonight. So, you know, that's what I'm going to be doing today.
That'll be, but I looked at QRZ there a minute ago, and I didn't see any American stations showing. There was all Europeans, so that tells me there's not anybody making contacts. And last night wasn't particularly good at all. So I think we still might be getting some effects from that CME. But I did manage to work Turkey, and they seem to get stronger. They're having a 100th anniversary of something over there. And so it was an odd call, TC-100, TC or something like that. So I worked that in one of the... Nothing out of the ordinary for sure, but it was getting better there for a while, but it really stinko here in the last few days.
What you mean? Well, I went the 75 meter net that I called last night at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I only had 14 people check in, and we did two rounds, and everybody got to talk to everybody that they wanted to talk to, and then everybody went elsewhere. So it wasn't good last night, and I don't know. I've got to call the same 75 meter net at 10 o'clock tonight too. So, but I'll be calling South Carolina single sideband net at 7. So, you know, that's usually pretty good around here. And we'll see.
Frequency on that one, Rusty, 39 something in it.
3915.
Always forget it, or else. How long does it run?
Unless we got a lot of traffic to pass, about 30 minutes total. And, you know, I get check-ins, and we take check-ins, and we get to see people have traffic and need to move traffic in or out of the state and that type of thing, and then we go from there. So anyway, well, I have arrived at over here where I intended to arrive, and I need to go into the Chinese place and order my lunch, and then go in the grocery store and pick up a few items, and then go back and pick up my lunch and go home. And all, because it's yucky out here. Anyway, at least I wore my boots today. I came prepared for walking around in this weather, and the more it rained, the less I wanted to take my camera equipment and go do pictures today, and also go stand outside and measure the property so I could do drawings. That wasn't going to happen. Anyway, I'll talk to you later, Tom. I'll be back on the road in about 20 minutes or so. W2T.
Okay, Rusty, we'll enjoy your lunch. Be safe out there. W2T and 0TR clear.
0TR and 4DJC.
Kind of a crummy old day today, isn't it? I'm just sitting here drinking a cup of coffee after eating some of Bernice's wonderful lemon chiffon. Oh, man, that stuff's good. I could eat the whole bowl of it, but it's a little bit on the Ritz side. How's your day?
I just had to drive in that nasty rain this morning over to Hall to go see my doc for my lab work and checkup. I'll hear back from the lab work probably in a couple of days, but he seemed to think I was doing okay, and I felt a whole lot better. But man, that was a terrible drive back. It was just pouring down rain.
Drive in it, dear.
30 miles. It takes us about 45 minutes. It was raining a little bit on the way over there this morning. I had to get over there by 8:30. But on the way back, about 9:30 or so, I mean, man, it just absolutely poured down. It let up for a while, and it just started pouring again. I mean, it was about as bad as I've seen it in a while. It wasn't as bad as you had to pull over. We weren't on interstate either, though. It was just on the two-lane road. But, we had a lot of rain. It's stopped here for the most part right now, but it was... Man, earlier it was just, I mean, it was coming out. It wasn't in sheets, but it was close to it.
And that, too. 1.44 inches. I'm sitting here looking at my weather station. And the barometer is 2990, so that's pretty close to normal. But according to what I've seen on radar, it's going to be there for a long time today. What we're going to drive is pretty easy driving down to Amy's, but I don't know, nowadays this traffic is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't plan on getting back out again today, unless I absolutely have to, but hopefully won't have to get back out today or tomorrow. I do need to get a haircut, but if the rain lets up, it looks pretty decent. I guess if I can get a haircut this afternoon, but only if it gets a little better, which I don't think it will.
Mention it there. All I got to do is holler at the barber here, and she gives me a haircut. And I get one about every 10 days to 2 weeks. Oh, shoot. Not very long in between. I don't like long hair. I don't like to mess with it. And I think the last commercial haircut I had was 50 cents, and that was back in the Navy in the 60s. And went to an inspection, and the chief says, "You need a haircut, Rouse." And I thought, oh, yeah, right. I just come from there. Good Lord. They didn't have to tell me to get a haircut. I always did. And it starts getting out around my ears. I don't like it.
Long hair either. I was a little longer. I was a lot shorter. Most guys were back in the 70s, a whole lot shorter than that. I didn't like my hair that long. And I don't like it long now. I keep it a little longer now to keep the sun off the spots. Other than that, that's about it. But, a guy got here does a really good job. He was injured in a boat accident a couple of years ago. He hurt his hand. He doesn't work on Wednesdays, and he leaves like at 3 o'clock in the afternoons the rest of the days, except he works like half a day on Saturday. He wouldn't take appointments, which I wish he didn't have to catch him when he's in there. Sometimes he got 4 or 5 people waiting in line for him, and I just have to kind of time it just right and, you know, catch him when he doesn't have anybody much in line. But I still don't have to wait a while to get him to cut it, but he does a good job. He didn't use a... Yeah, he does scissors cut deal. He don't use clippers like some of the other guys do.
Well, my nephews back in the old days, they were in high school and that, and they let their hair grow long. And so I went over and, first I got a roll-your-own cigarette. The guys at work used to roll their own, several of them. So I got a roll-your-own cigarette. Brought it home, went and borrowed a wig from the lady next door, and put it on. I don't think I put an earring on, I'm not sure. And then I put one of the hippie hats from back in the day. And took a picture and sent it to my nephew, who's a medical scientist. And I said, well, if you can't beat him, join him. And, you know, my daughter still got that picture hanging in her office.
The only thing I went fashion-wise, I had my sideburns growing a little long on the sides back in the day, but I got a couple of pictures of me with those. It looks kind of funny these days, but, you know, we come down to the bottom of the year. But I like those. That wasn't a problem. I still kept my hair short even then. But it was dark in those days, Tommy. It ain't dark no more. What's left is gray.
Sobering every time, you know, the hair on the floor before I sweep it up. It couldn't be mine because it's got some gray in it. Well, my two grandsons have got heads of hair like you wouldn't believe, and it's really beautiful. I mean, but now Jordan, the younger one now, is getting his where it hangs over towards his eyes. But Isaac's, I mean, it's magnificent. Head of hair there. And I guess that lacrosse team, before they went to a playoff game or something, for some reason they all peroxided their hair. And I thought, oh my gracious, why would you do that? Because his hair was already leaning towards blonde. But they did. Every one of them peroxided their hair before they went to that game. I have no idea what that signified, but you couldn't have paid me to do that. This is NZTR.
We did that back in the 60s and put peroxide on it and just have a tip on it, like a blonde tip on the hair. It was absolutely hysterical looking. Sometimes it took a while to grow it out, too. But my nephew was, he played lacrosse in high school. He was a really good lacrosse player and considered playing in college, but... When he decided to go to medical school, he decided he didn't have staff sports for a while. But had a good lacrosse team. Those guys, he said, it's fun. He said, I can't remember what position he played, but whatever position he played, Tom was one to carry that long stick with him. He said, yeah, I can't remember what the title was. But I watched him play a few times, and he was good. He's tough. He's not a real big guy, but he's tough as a 10-penny nail, though.
Said that they just beat the snot out of each other with those clubs, and I didn't know that, but that sensed it for me. I wasn't going to go anyways, but I definitely wasn't going to go to one of those games. But Isaac's 6'4", 6'5", about 280, I guess, and wears a size 16 shoe, and he's not fat, he's big. I don't think I'd want to be on the opposing team at his age when he's just 16.
Won't ever be whopping on me with a stick either. No matter how old he is. But But they enjoy it. It's a real physical sport, though. It's pretty tough. They kind of like regular hockey players. They're usually fairly lean and raw-boned. And, you can see them. They're not the crap out of each other when they're playing, especially when they get up towards latter part of the high school years when they're playing for state championships. So those guys, they're rough and tough.
I don't think the good Lord give you a nice, healthy body to go out and let somebody beat the crap out of you. And I don't like to see my grandson doing that kind of thing, but I don't have a say in it, so it doesn't matter. It's whatever they want to do, well. And my daughter's a sports nut, and so's my son-in-law. They went up to Charlotte the other day, and that was their birthday presents from Mom. And I guess Scott and Isaac both got to drive one of those NASCAR cars up there, Jerry.
A lot of fun. I had friends that worked for Hendrick Motorsports in the motor shop and other places. We always got pit passes and tickets and stuff all the years I was up there. And it's a lot of fun watching them. I never drove one. They started that driving experience thing about the time I got where I wasn't interested in anymore. One of my buddies when I was living in Shaw did it. He said, you can get up to about 160. He said, you have to look for the ball. He said, you can hear it.
Scott used to be a driver for his company up in Michigan. He was a test engineer. And then he also was an engineer for BMW for a year before he got laid off when the car industry went down. And they'd take these cars over to Talladega and places like that, and all brands, and test them on the track and see what their pluses and minuses were. And he had a T-shirt that said 150 mile an hour club.
I drove cars fast, but I didn't drive quite that. I don't think anything I own would go that fast. Motorcycles are worse, I guess. But when I was there, Waddell Wilson was the crew chief for Ricky Rudd back in the day, and Rick Hendrick had hired him, and he worked at Holman Moody for years. They called him Mr. Horsepower at Holman Moody. He was a Ford guy, but Hendrick was driving Chevrolet. They were running Chevrolets then, I guess. But I tell you, it was a beautiful shop, though. It's always interesting to me that all they had to do is to change the car, just change the sheet metal, change it from a Ford to a Chevy, just change the sheet metal. They had to do a couple of changes on the engine mounts. I think that's about it. They're all basically the same with the roll cages, which I always thought was interesting. They like to, back in those days, they could drive those Chevy Luminas and the Monte Carlos. They had something about their dynamics on them time that made them a little more competitive, and they stuck with that. Chevrolet kept making one style of that car for years after, but even just a two-door version for years, just so it would meet the specs for being able to run in the Winston Cup Series.
It's way beyond me. I enjoyed watching my neighbor build his Camaro over there, and then he started another one. An Oldsmobile that looked like a Buick Regal, but one of his buddies kept needling him to buy it, and so he finally sold it. He built the roll cage and everything, and that engine, he bought it prefab, but the other engine, they built it from scratch. Oh my, you ought to hear that thing, Jerry. It really make your blood run hot. I don't care to go that fast. He says you can't, on that Camaro, he says you cannot turn it loose. He says you wouldn't be able to control it. So it's got, I think, 680 horsepower or something like that. And he's got all the, good stuff in it to keep it from losing control. But he says you still wouldn't want to turn it loose out there. He said it's just too much horsepower in that size of car.
Still, like, I think they made them manufacture that last Hellcat, but I think it was like 1,000 horsepower. And it was a guy next door's granddaughter got some type of Dodge Challenger or something. And I can't remember what it is now, but it is that thing. When she cranks it up and waves it, it sounds rough and tough now. She's big as a, I mean, she's just a little bitty thing, too. But, yeah, those, I used to run with those Hemis. Yeah, guys had the Hemi Road Runners and the old 446 packs and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun back in the day. But those two cars, they were just good for a straight line. They were, you know, they wallowed like a whale in the curves. But, my daughter's brother-in-law is works for Wells Fargo. He's a big job at Wells Fargo, and they would some of the people, they take him to some of these car things. He did that NASCAR experience, and when they were somewhere, some conference down in Florida, and they took him to a Porsche dealer and Lamborghini dealer then, and let him drive about anything they wanted to. And he was driving those new Porsche GT 4Rs or something like that. He said that was absolutely the fastest car he'd ever sat in. And he said it did like, yeah, it was a street version. I think it did like 210 or 220 or something like that. But he said that was like, he'd driven the Tesla S's, which are really fast. You know, but he said that Porsche, he said, I think it was a regular combustion engine turbocharged. That Porsche is something else. That, I asked Brother Chris, when you go buy one? He said, well, I thought about that. I must say, start about $200,000. I said, if you buy one, I just want to sit in it. I can't afford to drive it. I just want to sit in it. Somebody take my picture of me sitting in the thing.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile.
Acknowledging Rusty. Yeah, the leather in those things is beautiful. My nephew, not the medical scientist, but the other nephew, out. I don't know if he's still in Colorado or Texas. He flies 787s. He's got, I guess one of them's a sports car. But out of my pay grade, I'll tell you for sure. Well, I got to go. Bernice is sitting here waiting, and we're getting ready to leave. So I'll turn you over to Mr. Rusty, and we'll catch you guys down the line. W2T to take it in 0TR73, Jerry.
Well, you can get back in here when you get on the road. But be careful out here, it's nasty. And good afternoon, Jerry. This is yucky weather out here, and I'm running around in it, but I'm headed home. You talking about fast cars, I'll tell you what you want to try is that new one, that new car that Dodge has put out, that one they call the Hornet. That sucker will fly if you get the upgraded version of it.
He lives here in town. I ran into him every once in a while. He's got one of those Hellcats or something. I think it's about 1,000 horsepower. He said, you've been at 80 miles an hour. And he said, he'll smoke the tires at 80 miles an hour. That's 1,000 horsepower. That's like NASCAR horsepower type stuff. without all the suspension stuff, that thing, I think he gets about 4 or 5 miles to a gallon with it, maybe something like that. But it sounds good, though, Rusty. But my days of fast cars are way gone, but I used to love to drive them fast. And my speed tickets always tell the story, too.
I owned one of those. I owned one of the original cars they called the Hornet. And it wasn't a hopped-up car like the new version is that they've come out with. And I'll tell you what, that was a interesting car to drive. And but I got I saw one the other day, and I was talking to a guy that had it. He was over in the parking lot next to me, and I saw it, and I asked him about it and all, because it still had the sticker on the window. He said he just picked it up. It had been delivered here to him a couple of days, the day before that day, one of the two. I forgot which, but he said he just picked it up, and I was looking at that thing, and he says, yeah, he's got the version that's the high-level one. And he put the extra $5,000 or $6,000 into it to get the bigger engine and everything to go with it. He says that thing will go from 0 to 60 in about 4.5 seconds, and it will move down the road. He had a chance to take it over on a test track the tire manufacturer's test tracks, and he said he got it up to about 165 to 170 miles an hour, and that's a street legal version. Go figure. I don't think I want to try to drive that fast.
One of my buddies is, and he lives in Michigan, and he works for Chevy, and he was on the Corvette team when they were designing this new mid-engine, and he's a big knife guy, knife collector like I was years ago, and he came to the Blade Show in Atlanta one year in some type of test Corvette, and I said, Mark, I said, what's the horsepower? He said, 930. He said, we don't tell anybody actually how much it ever has, but he said, it's about 930 or something like that. And that thing absolutely, it was a predecessor to the mid-engine. That thing absolutely was, I mean, I rode it with him. And they, I don't know what all they've done to it, Rusty, but it handled good, it drove good, it rode good. But, man, when he kicked that thing, man, you could just be rolling at 30 miles an hour. He had to be careful. Because it smoked the tires about any time you touched it almost. But it was like I said, the new mid-engine Corvette's better than the old ones. But he was working on the mid-engine back then. They've been working on that mid-engine vent now for about 5 or 6 years, I think. And he'd take a picture, just part of it every once in a while, let some of us see it. And they wouldn't let them divorce the whole entire design. But I saw one the other day, and I said, that thing reminds me a little bit of a Lamborghini. But the Corvettes I rode in back in the 60s, they were like riding in a big wagon. They was rough.
Yeah, well, this Hornet, I was looking at that, and I was looking down the details on the sticker on it. And the horsepower, the engine in that thing was rated at 560 horsepower. That's more horsepower than I even want to get behind the wheel of. So, anyway. Well, I'm getting back here close to the house. I got to jump out and pick up my mail because the mailman was headed down my direction when I left out a while ago. And I'm sure he's been there and put the mail in the mailbox. And I don't know whether he's got a box for me or not, or he left it on the porch or what he did with it. But anyway, Jerry, I'll say 7-3s because I'm getting close down here to the house and this rain is picking up. You have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you later. N4DJC, W2T, 7-3s for now.
Good afternoon. Hope you get to stay inside. Maybe the mailman's bringing you a bag full of money. You can only hope. W2T, N4DJC, clear.